And welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm Greg Williams, and today is another wonderful Family Foundation Friday with Executive Director David Walls. Thank you, David, for joining us.
Greg, good to be with you.
Now, I've got a little intro here because we've been doing some things here after the legislature, but we kind of hearken back to that with what's going on. But last week, we talked a little bit about the lawsuit by the ACLU that brought against SB Senate Bill 150, as also we talked a bit, just introduced the upcoming primary election, which now has already happened.
Right.
Now,
right.
We're recording this before, so next week we're going to hit that a little bit harder.
Yeah.
We'll do that. But David, I want to help our listeners understand a little bit more about this whole idea of gender dysphoria and gender affirming care. That always used to mean, when common sense and truth prevailed, that there was a dysphoria in the mind. And gender affirming was help you realize how you were, what you were created to be.
Right.
And we've kind of lost some of that. So help our listeners with that a little bit, and then we'll get into a few of the weeds of this lawsuit by the ACLU.
Well, Greg, you know, as you and I have talked about, we're really living in challenging times for those that think truth and reality are important, and indeed they are. And you know, when we enter into this debate, and I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to continue to come onto this program and talk about some of these issues in a little bit more in depth. But we are living in a culture and a moment where, you know, our kids, whether that be in some contexts in terms of the curriculum they're even being taught in schools, certainly in the media, whether that be social media, whether that just be the entertainment, you know, folks of the day promoting this radical ideology that says that you can, that how you personally identify, how you feel, how you perceive yourself is ultimately more important than the biological realities of who God created you to be. I mean, that's really at the core.
So who's God?
That's right.
Isn't that the bottom line?
Right.
That's the same thing Adam and Eve were fed.
Yep.
You can be like God.
That's
right. Call yourself a boy if you're a girl.
That's right.
I mean, same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the, I mean, that's the context and the underlying issue. But as it relates to, you know, sometimes we have these battles in the legislature and other cultural contexts where these issues are really brought to the forefront and provide an opportunity for Christians to think through maybe some issues that, and I understand most folks are not sitting around, hopefully not, at the at the dinner table going, let's talk about, you know, gender-affirming care and, you know, why that's such an Orwellian term that's been co-opted to mean something the exact opposite of what we actually think
known it to mean
and so forth. But the reality is the Lord has provided these opportunities, and it is important for Christians to think biblically and to engage biblically on some of these issues. And as you and I talked a lot about this legislative session, the one of the biggest battles was around SB 150 and specifically the portion of the bill that dealt with saying we are going to ban, we are going to stop these so-called gender transition interventions on young children. And what are we talking and meaning about that? We're talking about putting starting children on puberty blockers. To block their puberty.
Because if you do that, you already have bought into the lie, right? You've bought into the deception.
So we heard a lot of arguments, and you hear arguments that say, well, that kids that may be struggling with their identity in some context, they just need to be put on these puberty blockers to be mess around with their puberty, to delay their puberty, to give them more time to determine for themselves what biological sex that we are. Now, if you stop and think about that and lay it out, I mean, the ultimate insanity of that viewpoint starts to come out just when you start talking about it. Because, Greg, you and I know that God is the one who created us.
Yes.
He created puberty. It's the natural God-ordained way that boys and girls go through a process to become ultimately the men and women that God has created them to be. And so we can understand without even being, you know, having a science background, that delaying that or interfering in that in the important developmental stages of children can have profound impacts.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. It's from stepping from that to taking cross-sex hormones, you know, feeding, you know, hormones that are prevalent in male bodies into females, and and vice versa. And then, as I've said,
in other words, forcing the issue.
Forcing the issue.
And then make it reality.
And then
when it's not.
Even further than that, talking about mutilating surgeries. Now, look,
so,
I would argue
it's not just the surgery.
No,
you've made a great point here, David.
Right.
It's not just the surgery. It has to start with, well, let's delay it. Then let's try to change it. Then let's actually physically change it.
And again, before we get to the physically mutilating, what these other things that we're talking about, we're really talking about chemically mutilating and forever, you know, changing having irreparable harm in terms of the impacts on
without
these
being
kids.
Able to change the sex, gender.
So,
you can.
And I know you and I, we spent a lot of time talking about this, but I want to walk through you. We got to talk a little bit last week. That, and we knew this was coming, but the ACLU, and again, you know, the ACLU, a lot of folks are familiar with them. They have been, you know, increasingly hostile to protecting religious freedom and a host of issues, but they have been all in on promoting this radical LGBT worldview. Mm-hmm. They are one of the biggest advocates on the opposite side of the Family Foundation and other you know, pro-family groups at the legislature, particularly on all the provisions of SB 150. Yeah. But they have now filed a lawsuit in federal court specifically against the provisions in SB 150 that would protect our children from these hormones and from puberty blockers.
Making it sound like we're just taking this first little step.
Right.
But you made the great point that when you take that step, you've already bought into the deception.
Right.
And you already have bought into something that can't truly happen, but we're going to do everything we can to make it look like it does.
Right.
So what does that look like, David, in the lawsuit? Because people need to understand, if they can, what they are saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and first off, look, there have been legal challenges. Thankfully, there's been a number of states that have been moving forward and passing these bills. I'm going to give a little shout out to Texas
of
where
course.
I'm originally from. They have moved forward on a bill doing very similar things, protecting kids from these gender transition. Right. A number of other states, and a lot of these states have seen these laws challenged. And we're going to see some these things play out in the courts. But what I want to just talk a little bit about is that how once we head down this path of saying that we're going to call into question the basic biological truths and realities of humanity and the co-opting of language that takes place, it becomes hard to even communicate, for judges to even adjudicate things in law. And what's spelled out in this complaint that the ACLU has filed, and this is, again, hear me, we love people. We want, why SB 150 was passed, these protections that were put in place, is because we want to protect children. Mm-hmm. We want them to be affirmed in the reality of who God created them to be. Yeah. But the sad reality is when you read this complaint that the ACLU has filed, and it is on behalf of several families here in Kentucky whose young children are being pushed and are engaging in these so-called gender transition services right now as we speak. One, it's heartbreaking, but two, it just completely reinforces why it was so important that we protect.
Absolutely.
But the fundamental reality of what it means to be a boy or a girl, a son or a daughter, start breaking down, Greg. When you read this complaint, one of the first things that stands out is these children that are identified as Jane Doe in this complaint, is they start referring to them as sons and daughters.
Right.
But you have to actually read further into the complaint to realize that what's being referred to as a son is actually a daughter, and what is being referred to as a daughter is actually a son.
Yes.
We see right off at the bat in the beginning parts of this complaint filed by the ACLU, this term, incongruence between a person's gender identity and the sex they were designated at birth. Let's talk about what does the term sex assigned at birth. Sometimes you'll see this term. I experienced this in a public school system back when I was living in Texas, when they were proposing teaching curriculum like this in the Austin Independent School District. This term we wanted to teach kids that their sex was assigned to them after they were born by their doctor.
Yeah, or their parents or whoever. It was a social construct.
Right, it's a social
construct. Not a product of creation in true life.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so my point in kind of diving into this is just to point out and say that when we start down this path, we're not just, you know, experimenting in these debates with kids' lives and livelihoods on the line.
We're
also undercutting the very foundations of language, of law. How does a judge adjudicate a dispute when we can't even agree upon what it means to be a son or a daughter, a man or a woman, you know, a male or a female? There are basic truths that we all have to have some kind of foundation to agree upon.
You got a couple of minutes.
Right.
Before you read, just a couple. We may come back to this again just to make the point. We want to be strong on this, but we want to be gracious.
Right.
Let me read what the Bible says, what the Creator says about who we are.
Yeah.
To David in the Psalms in 139, which we use in the pro-life movement because it's so powerful. 13 and 14 in verse 1, in 139. For you created my innermost parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you. I am awesomely and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows that well. Even before I was formed, you made me. And then he told Jeremiah, when he was setting him apart to be a prophet, in Jeremiah 1:5, as we know it, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Yep.
And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He's pointing that out because it was done before he was even born. God not only created him, he did so in a way that fit the design he had for him.
Right.
And we've got to help people understand that. So if you want to read a little bit of that, or you got something else, share with that so we can.
Well, I won't read too much more from the lawsuit, but you know, this, Greg, and you bringing up what the Word of God has to say about this issue, what I'd like to just remind folks as we come to a conclusion here is the importance of in our families, as parents, recognizing that we're going to have to be at the age appropriate time periods, but unfortunately it's probably going to be earlier than equip our kids with what the Bible has to say about how God created them as our son or our
male
daughter,
male and female,
right. And in our churches, look, I mean, you recognize this, you get out and speak in churches all the time. Look, I've talked with I can't tell me how many youth pastors, these issues are in the church.
Yes.
They are being confronted with these issues, whether it be in your youth group or with the kids in the environment that
Friends
they're in,
that
the
they're
school
in,
that they're
yes.
in.
Right.
And so we as believers have a tremendous responsibility to build up our fellow men and women in the body of Christ and primarily at our own homes to teach and understand these issues so that when the challenges come, our kids can stand firm on the Word of God.
That's it, brother. And that's why we read it in Genesis. He said, we created a male and female for this reason.
Yeah.
And he gives that. So thank you again, David, for being with us. It's powerful. We'll continue. But as we said, next week we're going to hit the primary election winners and talk about what that looks like for the general election, David. So I know we look forward to that.
Absolutely.
KentuckyFamily.org.
Yes.
And loveandlordship.com. Go there and you'll find out a lot more. Thank you for joining us. Thanks always for your prayers. And always we thank the Lord. Make it a great day and God bless in Christ. Stay tuned for Bill Reeser and Encounter. And then at 12:45, Greg Horn and Hope is here. I'm Greg Williams and you're listening to The Authority of Love.